Thanks for leaving us a little time, Matt. And as you point out, Wishart is 150 years old, and I'm sure you hope that this new hospital would serve the community for another 150 years at least. Now, I, as part of the Star, have written about Wishart for 4 years, have profiled you and Dr. Harris and written articles about this. Yet, the whole process of deciding on a $754 million new hospital has been condensed down into a very few short months. It came out of the budget in late June, in a very obscure way. Matt has the exact page number, but like 500, you know, and then it comes in a political year, which is expected to be very low turnout, no candidate races. And you yourself have painted in interviews with me and with others the dilemma in the starkest of terms. It's really very black and white, either build or essentially close up in a while. Do you feel like that's been a fair approach? I mean, as far as I've heard from people say, why can't we explore other issues, whether it be more joint agreements with other, we have lots and lots of hospitals in this community. What about rebuilding, remodeling in pieces? I know that you found that to be. So I was just wondering if you feel like your approach has allowed for the political discourse that democracies really need to make good, sound decisions by the voting public.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. First of all, we have been discussing this project as a community for years now. It was 2 years ago, in fact, a little bit over 2 years ago, at a city-county council meeting when we began openly discussing this project and describing that we are in the planning process for our facilities, describing that we needed to address those facilities, and discussing that we were engaging in a kind of comprehensive analysis. That was 2 years ago. Last year, before the City County Council, we had the same discussion as well. In fact, at that time, it was a much more elaborate discussion about the options that we were discussing, the process, and the fact that we needed to address this issue. We've also been meeting, I think, exactly the way the political process is supposed to work, which is we've been spending a lot of time with elected officials on both the federal level, the state level, and the local level, discussing this project for really a couple of years, and I think that process has worked well. What I think has been inaccurate is to say that this only came through the budget bill, the special session. We actually were seeking legislation in a number of bills during the ordinary session that died. You know, they died on the cutting room floor of the General Assembly when so many other things did. And so that's why we needed, and of course there was a special session which made the process last longer. Now, you also raised the issue of, is it fair to have this vote during a low turnout year? I don't think that's good for us. I think that's bad for us to be in a low voter turnout year. History would suggest that that's bad for us. That since the General Assembly 2 years ago passed a law that requires us to go to a referendum, there have been 9 referenda in the state of Indiana. Two have succeeded, only 9 have failed. Let me get the math right. 9 have occurred, 2 have succeeded, 7 have failed. The only 2 to succeed were those last November during the presidential election where there was record turnout. Every other referenda in the state of Indiana that has not been on that time frame have failed. Okay, so it is not a great benefit to us to be in this off year. There will be very low turnout. That means that a very small number of people will decide this very important public policy issue rather than a larger number of people. And what both political scientists as well as psychologists will tell you is that people who are against something are more motivated than people who are for it. And so we're walking an uphill battle here. If we win this, we will be the first referendum since the General Assembly passed the law to not win in a presidential election.